This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. In a world where news of violence, of war and natural disasters and more that happen anywhere in the world can reach us in a matter of minutes on our phone or on our laptops, it can be easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer scale of it all. Now, some of us have probably chosen to switch off from the news instead to avoid those distressing feelings that accompany bad news and headlines. But is there a way for us to stay informed without actually feeling numb to what's happening in the world, to what's happening around us? So joining me to discuss this topic is Dr. Debbie Ling. She's a compassion researcher and educator. She's also a lecturer in the Department of Social Work at Monash University. Debbie, thank you so much for joining me all the way from Melbourne.
My pleasure to be here.
Now, when I was reading up about this, right, and I speak from personal experience as well, that sometimes I felt like I want to switch off from the news, you know, but I was also reading a digital news report by Oxford University's Reuters Institute. And for the past couple of years, they found that, you know, there has been a decline in people who are very interested in news and that there was evidence that people are choosing to avoid stories, right? Avoid distressing stories such as about the war in Ukraine, the cost of living crisis. And their latest report actually came out before the current war on Gaza began as well. So, you know, in the past year, there's been no shortage of distressing news. What have you also personally observed about people's behaviour and responses to these kinds of headlines, especially when it's so accessible?
I think it's a really key point, Sue Ann, and there's no doubt that the news can be very confronting for consumers of it. And as you've said, there are quite a lot of highly distressing stories or where we hear about people suffering. And so I guess there's two issues going on to highlight here. One is what's happening in the news, and I guess the percentage of stories that show trauma, you know, murder, war, all of that sort of stuff. So that's one aspect, is what actually is happening in the news. But the other aspect, which is more my area of expertise, is what actually happens when people are confronted by images or stories of people who are suffering and distressed. And I'm a compassion researcher. So compassion, the definition of compassion is that it's a concerned response to another's suffering combined with the desire to alleviate the suffering of the other. And what's got very interesting here is that brain imaging research is showing that we are sort of wired for empathy. So I need to define what I'm talking about here, because people often think the terms empathy and compassion are the same, but they're not. So empathy is where we have a feeling resonance, or we share feelings with the others, with other people. And it can be any feelings, if someone's happy or sad. Now, the problem is we know from brain imaging research now that if you are confronted by images or of someone in real life or on the news who's suffering or distressed, it's called the empathy for pain network. Researchers have shown that the viewer, it triggers the pain networks in the viewer if you're seeing someone else in pain, which means, and that's an unpleasant, distressing feeling for the viewer, and it's actually called empathic distress, and it makes the viewer want to get away from that suffering or to comfort themselves. And so this is probably what's happening with a lot of the distressing news stories. And keeping in mind empathy for other people's pain, it's considered that it's probably a basic human survival, evolutionary thing that we're born with. You need humans to understand when they're young children. So you need caregivers to recognise if the babies, your young children, are in pain and need help. So you can't prevent yourself having empathy or feeling resonance. But the problem is, if you are in professions like yourself as a journalist or in healthcare or watching lots of news, and you're regularly being confronted by stories or images of people suffering or distressed, it's highly likely it's triggering that empathy for pain network again and again in the viewer. And as I've mentioned, that's now considered to be called empathic distress. And the researchers can see it's firing neural pathways in the brain that are related to pain and distress in the viewer. And this is not good for you. However, the good news is there's well-famous neuroscientists who over the last 10 years have done some amazing research where they have been able to show that if people can pivot to compassion instead. So with compassion, when you already know that other people are suffering and distressed, you're not trying to feel their suffering or share it. You know they're suffering. But with compassion, you have a wish to focus on how to alleviate it if you can. And so these neuroscientists, what they did was they actually put participants in the brain scanner. It's called a functional MRI brain scanner.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed them footage from news, the news and documentaries of people who were suffering and distressed, and told them, you know, have empathy, put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And what the researchers saw, of course, was it triggered the empathy for pain network. The participants feel uncomfortable. It's painful for them to see this. And so they pulled the participants out of the scanner and gave them compassion training, where your focus is not to take on the other's suffering. You're not. Your focus is more on how can I alleviate it, or a wish to alleviate it. And so they put the participants back in the scanner, the brain scanner, showed them more videos and news stories of people suffering and distressed. And what they found, this is the sort of big item or finding, is that compassion not only reversed the empathic distress, so it made that go away, compassion technically is a positive state of mind for the giver. So it triggers feelings of warmth, concern, caring, which is good for the giver, but also potentially it motivates the giver to think about what you could do to help. But even if you can't do anything to help, so let's say you're hearing a story of some war on the other side of the world and there's nothing practical you can do, technically, if you can pivot to compassion or arise compassion in yourself, that is a positive state of mind for yourself, and it protects you against empathic distress. And so this finding, which was published in 2014, so 10 years ago now, it's a very big finding, and there's a lot of interest now in providing compassion training, particularly to, as I've mentioned, professions who are exposed to other people suffering and distress.
Mm-hmm.
Because empathic distress can be prevented, or you can protect yourself from it if you know about compassion training. But the problem is it takes a long time for research findings to filter into the mainstream or get on the news.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in time, most people are not aware of the difference between compassion and empathy, and that compassion can actually protect you from empathic distress. And I'm not saying empathy is bad at all. In most other circumstances, empathy is a very good thing to have, but it's not good if you are picking up on the distressing feelings of other people again and again. It really can burn you out and make you want to switch off.
All right. We'll go for a quick break and continue this discussion when we come back. On the show with me today is Dr. Debbie Ling. She's a compassion researcher and educator currently attached to Monash University. We're talking about how we can continue to stay informed in a world full of distressing news and how we can make that pivot from empathy to compassion. And I'll dive more into that after a quick break. So keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Joining me on Zoom today is Dr. Debbie Ling. She's a compassion researcher and educator. She's also a lecturer in the Department of Social Work at Monash University. Joining me today to discuss the topic of compassion, and in particular, how it's different from empathy, how it's linked to it, and also the need to recognize empathic distress. I want to talk a bit. There was a lot you talked about before the break, Debbie, and I want to dive into quite a few aspects on feeling empathy. Right? Is that something that's inherent in us as humans? You know, or is that something that can be cultivated or needs to be cultivated when we talk about, you know, reading the news and understanding what other people are going through?
So generally, it's considered that we're born with sort of like a base level of empathy. So all humans, and in fact lots of animals, have the ability to understand to some degree what's going on for other animals, and you know, they'll go and help each other. But there also is the understanding that things like empathy and compassion can be trained and enhanced as well. So there's no doubt that some people have higher levels of it than others, and it can also be situation specific.
All right. So then how is that empathy evoked then when we read news? Because these are not things that we can see or directly happen in front of us, right? Why does reading about something also evoke that response?
So put simply, empathy is, most people understand empathy to be something like understanding how another feels, or put yourself in another person's shoes. But research is showing that empathy is actually a bit more complicated than that. And as you have mentioned, there's different types of empathy. So for example, trying to empathize or feel what you think someone else is feeling, that's one type of empathy. But there's another type where, let's say, you're watching a story about a car accident and people are quite injured and you can see they're injured and hurt. If what happens is, if you start thinking, what does it feel like to, you know, say, have a crushed rib cage, so you're imagining what it would feel like for yourself, that is where it becomes much more distressing for yourself. So the thing is, it's called the self-other distinction. And this is where I am getting a bit technical, but this is what sometimes makes people squeamish or feel faint, say in horror movies, if they see something unpleasant being done to someone else and they're accidentally imagining what it would feel like for themselves. And this can happen very quickly. Boom, you can suddenly feel faint. But and this is where that type of empathy, it's considered, it comes out of something called emotion contagion, where suddenly, without realizing it, we've picked up on the other person's feelings. Now, you can get emotion contagion for positive feelings too. You know, if you're around someone who's really happy and excited, and sometimes you feel good too. So emotion contagion can be a good thing as well, but it's not a good thing if you're accidentally picking up on other people's distressing or painful feelings. And so this is where the research is showing that compassion is so important and useful, because with compassion, you're actually focusing on the other person, and you're focusing, but you're not focusing specifically on their pain. You're focusing on what can I do to alleviate that, or I wish their suffering would go away. And that particular orientation, if you like, is a positive mind state. It doesn't make you feel squeamish or faint. It's more sort of solution-focused and action-oriented. Whereas if you're just focusing on, oh, that must be so horrible to be, you know, crushed under that building if there was an earthquake or something, that just makes you feel bad. You yourself feel stressed and uncomfortable. And, and there's no focus on solutions. It's just straight sharing an intense feeling resonance.
If I could ask a bit more about the solutions aspect, right, about making that pivot from empathy to compassion, could you give a bit more example of what that looks like? Because, again, from a listener or reader's perspective, it seems like two very similar concepts. How do you make that pivot from empathy to compassion?
Yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, they are similar, and I understand people. Basically, most of us, we've all been taught or encouraged, if you like, to have empathy. And we do this, you know, to some degree naturally, or we tend to have this feeling resonance and it just stops there. But the pivot from empathy to compassion, with compassion, you have a much more explicit focus on thinking about how can I help the other person, or I wish they were free of suffering. If you have that in your mind, we know from brain imaging research that is a more sort of positive mind state. But there's something technical I would like to say here, and I think you're sort of hinting at it with your question. So there's two things to say. One is, if you can do something to help and you come up with a solution, great. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm just saying, like, if my hair was on fire, I just need someone to get a bucket of water and throw it on my head. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But the issue, and particularly this is an issue with the news, is if you are confronted by a situation where practically there's nothing that you can do, then my suggestion is you cultivate compassion, so the wish that they were alleviated from their suffering, but then you move off that news story and put your attention elsewhere, because if you keep your attention on that scenario for a longer length of time, you will, through inevitably, when I say through common sense, you can't help but start to think, let's say if it was, you know, war in the other part of the world, you can't help but start to think, oh, that must be terrible, and you know, how all, you know, difficult for these people. And so I guess I'm being pragmatic here. I think that compassion can be a very useful approach to being able to interact with the news and keep yourself up to date and be realistic that some news is not always positive stories. But I guess what I'm saying is, I think it's very important for us to have a degree of self-awareness of how we're, what sort of news we're interacting with or consuming. And of course, this is pretty tough. For example, journalists, healthcare workers, where you're confronted again and again, often with difficult stories. And this is where, particularly in healthcare, there's a really great interest, high interest in giving compassion training to healthcare workers. And in fact, at Monash, in two medical degrees, the Monash University medical degree, which is the largest in Australia, and they have students from Malaysia actually in the Monash medical degree, and also at Warwick Uni in the UK, they're now giving compassion training as a compulsory core curriculum to all the final year medical students to make sure that they're better prepared for when they become doctors. Because if you don't train people up then on how to shift from empathy to compassion, then it's not something that people will naturally do, and in which case they're more likely to get this empathy overload or sort of empathic distress fatigue.
What happens when someone reaches that limit and gets to empathic distress fatigue? You know, are there consequences to that person in your day-to-day life?
Yes. So at the moment, it's considered probably one of the key drivers of burnout, because and what happens too is, unfortunately, there's a term called compassion fatigue.
Yes.
That you've probably heard of and lots of people have heard of. Now, unfortunately, this term has had wide usage for the last couple of decades, but technically it's now considered to be incorrect. Compassion, as we know, is a positive state of mind. It doesn't fatigue you. Compassion fatigue is probably more correctly termed empathic distress fatigue. or empathy fatigue. So So people who are constantly or often accidentally, because it's accidental, going into empathic distress or getting empathy overload, are much more likely to feel stressed, have symptoms of burnout, and also start to think that they can't do their job or they don't want to do their job. And, of course, that's a difficult thing as well, because you do need frontline workers, you need people to do different jobs. And so this is where the answer is probably ultimately in compassion training, and as more and more professions learn about this and understand, this is one strategy for helping resource themselves in their difficult work.
I mean, clearly, Debbie, empathic distress fatigue is more important among people who work in high stress jobs or jobs that, you know, are going to continuously and repeatedly expose you to trauma. But I guess for the average person, you know, especially when we talk about reading distressing news, how do I recognize that I've reached that limit or I'm about to reach that limit? You know, is that something that I can clearly see?
Yes. So this is a very key question, because for a start, as mentioned, most people aren't aware that they're getting empathy overload or empathic distress. So if you don't know that it's happening to you, what happens is you just switch off, or you want to get away from the news, or you just feel bad. So the way of working out you're getting it is by paying attention to how you feel. And so if you're feeling stressed or uncomfortable by the news, or sort of lowering your mood, then, as I've said, there's a good chance that's empathy overload or empathic distress. And so part of it is helping, is for people to some degree, I would say, heighten their self-awareness, but also to practice. So hopefully some of the people who hear this interview, if my suggestion is next time you're listening to the news, or you hear a story where in the past you might find it distressing, just try and practice for a short space of time. Just try and practice to pivot to a wish of compassion for these people. So where you think, you know, what could I do? Or you can also think, I just wish they were relieved of their suffering. So when I say, when you think, what can I do? You know, some people donate to charities. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it gives you something more positive and solution focused to focus on, which is better for your own well-being than compared to feeling helpless or hopeless or depressed. So this is really important. There are certain mind states that are not helpful for us, and empathic distress is one of those mind states. And so it's about people heightening their self-awareness and then practicing short little bursts of compassion. But also I would recommend to people to practice probably greater self-awareness of if you've been exposed to a couple of distressing news stories, intentionally go and look at something more positive to balance out your view of human nature, because this is one of the other problems, is we know that there is a negativity bias in news reporting. So sort of negative stories attract the attention more.
That is what gets the clicks.
That's right. They get the clicks and the click through. But the problem is for the general public, it is a little bit attracts your attention, but the general public then may be accidentally taking in too many sort of negative stories, which it then what happens is it gives us a slightly distorted view of human nature. And we forget that the reality is in countries all around the world, you have, you know, parents looking after their children, healthcare workers looking after people in hospitals, teachers teaching the young ones. Like, the large majority of societies around the world have a lot of cooperative care behaviour. Part of what we are as humans is we are built in an evolutionary capacity to have care, cooperation, compassion, And even quite a lot of animal species do that. So bees, ants, dolphins, elephants, they are actually well demonstrated to behave very cooperatively and help each other. And I think it's important for people to remember that and focus on that as well. And if you can't find a news story highlighting that, one of the great things with the internet is you can go and Google about, you know, cooperative animal behavior or some good news stories.
Yeah, I think that's a good reminder, Debbie, that, you know, as much as we read about the ugly side of human nature, the bad things, the traumatic things that are happening, all around us, there are acts of kindness, right? And I think we do see, I do see at least more people trying to emphasize that, to highlight that, you know, we as humans, we are still kind to each other, you know, we still help each other out where it is needed. And I think that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Debbie.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking to Dr. Debbie Link, compassion researcher and educator, as well as lecturer in the Department of Social Work at Monash University. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can download our podcast on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.